someone had forced their way into the back door back here. And thankfully, nothing was that I could tell was taken or anything, but we called the police and they came out and just looked around, fingerprinted, and found some footprints and made a full report. We thanked them, and that was it. So I'm thankful that in the Lord's mercy and providence that nothing was taken, as far as I could tell, like I said, or destroyed. So let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. I'll begin with verse 18 and, Lord willing, go through the remaining part of this chapter. And as we usually, this first service is usually the shorter of the two. If this first service, as times has happened in the past, goes a little longer than normal, then the second service will be a little shorter. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father, this morning, we again thank you for your goodness and mercy to us in allowing us the privilege to be able to meet together again. We thank you for your kindness to teach us, to sustain us, to feed us. And Lord, we ask you, would you bless this word this morning? Bless it to our hearts and to our understanding. Lord, bless it to where we truthfully can feast and to truly be able to say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We ask these things, thanking you for your keeping mercy, and not only on those that have been sick and are ill, but Lord, also for the protection of all of us. For Christ's sake, amen. All right, Romans chapter 1. Paul has been writing to the church at Rome and has related to them that he's not ashamed to preach the gospel. The Lord had taught him the truth. And he said the gospel is the power of God. No other way. No other message. No, nothing else to say. The gospel. The truth concerning Christ. And he's related in the gospel that righteousness before God is only known by faith. Faith is the effect of God's mercy and grace to a people to teach them what He has declared. Justification before God, that is the declaration by God that Almighty God has made His people what they are. They don't see it in themselves, but by faith, they believe it. This is what God has said concerning His own. Well, in verse 18, Paul reveals something else. By the inspiration of the Spirit of God, not only in verse 17 is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, but also in verse 18 we know something else. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, this thing of God's wrath we hear of the wrath of Almighty God. And wrath is actually the determination of God to punish sin. God is determined that He's going to punish sin. Now, while wrath, and we think of the word wrath, wrath is usually associated in our minds as being unbridled anger. You make someone mad, and they are filled with wrath. I mean, you think of that word, and it's just that uncontrolled, just angry, just wrath, though it's associated in our nature with that anger, actually wrath, that word, the heart of that word is desire. Desire in Almighty God to justly, without any deviation whatsoever, to punish all that are not found in Christ. That's what it is to be under the wrath of God. God is going to punish all that be not found in His Son. Now, His wrath, the Scripture says, is revealed from heaven. Well, I know for a fact that it's revealed in His law. I know that it was revealed in the garden. I know that it was revealed in the flood, but especially revealed on the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ hung, being made sin, and God spared not His Son. Now, when God spared not His Son, we can ask ourselves this: does one foolishly think that God is going to spare any that be not found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Psalm 5:5 says this: the foolish, that is, all those who in themselves think contrary to God's thinking, the foolish shall not stand in Thy sight, and Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. All without a fit righteousness. It doesn't matter what a man thinks his position is, that he's either a little better than this one, or I'm a little bit more moral than this one. Everyone without a fit, a right standing before Almighty God, is a worker of iniquity. God's wrath is revealed against all, the Scripture says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is, all that contradict. When it says that hold, it's actually contradict their profession by their conduct. Now, I know that in every person, every man, every woman, I do understand that there is a nature that is within, even a believer. Paul says, there is in me, that is, in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. And every believer in this congregation this morning will admit, I know, I see, I know that I see in me, and it's really me. It's not. Paul says, there is in me, there dwells no good thing. But I do understand that there is a nature in every person that absolutely contradicts what Almighty God says. The flesh is flesh. It's always been flesh. It'll always be flesh. It never changes. But I will tell you this, in every believer, There's a new nature that loves the law of God, that bows to the law of God, and loves God. Truly loves God. And these two natures are absolutely contrary. But Paul reveals by the Spirit of God that the wrath of God, God's desire to punish evil, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or who contradict without a spirit of rightness in them. An unbeliever who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, the wicked are inexcusable. Now, there is a nature in every man born in sin that is dead. But the Scriptures set forth that no one is inexcusable. Verse 19 and 20, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, or that word in right there, if in your margin you'll look, that word is actually interpreted to. It's revealed to them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now, there are obviously some things that cannot be known, cannot be understood, except by divine revelation. I know, that there's no way unless God Almighty gives a man, a woman, faith to believe that God has actually, truly chosen a people before the foundation of the world that they should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I do understand that unless Almighty God gives a man, grants a man or a woman faith to believe that they are adopted by God. Unless God teaches men that Christ was made sin, I know that they cannot understand that. I do understand that. But the Scripture says that no man, no woman born in Adam is without excuse when it comes to the understanding that Almighty God is God. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Now, the Lord has declared these things according to His Word to be clearly seen or distinctly apprehended, being understood, the Scripture says, or perceived with the mind. Now, men are without excuse. You can say, well, I'm just not going to have this man to rule over me. I'm not going to listen to what you've got to say. I don't believe you. Well, the Scripture declares that these things are shown to men without excuse. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Because that, or since that, when they knew God, that is, in the revelation of nature, they glorified Him not as God. They neither spoke nor thought honorably of the Lord. That is, they saw no beauty in Him that they should love Him, worship Him, bow to Him as the Master of all things. They knew Him in nature, but the Scripture says they weren't thankful, not thankful for the knowledge that Almighty God had given of Himself in nature. You think Leave a man to himself. You find no one. The Scripture says they're not thankful. But you find no one left to himself beholding the things that are created, the heavens that declare the handiwork of God. No man, since Adam was created, left to himself, will stand up and truthfully say, behold the glory of Almighty God in the handiwork in which He set forth. No man has ever said, I'm thankful that Almighty God has shown Himself in the creation. They're dead. But they are not without excuse. God has shown it to them. The Scripture says they became vain in their imaginations. They were not thankful. They were void, vain, void of thoughts of honor before God. But not without excuse. All their thoughts were perverted, corrupt. Left to themselves, they did not, would not, could not glorify God. Could not. But still, without excuse. Without excuse. Could not. Why? Because they were dead. But not without excuse. Do you see the need of a man? No man can come to me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him. No man can come. No man can come. That's due with ability. No man is without excuse. Man's in trouble without Almighty God showing him mercy. No man can come. No man will come. And unless he come, he's going to perish without excuse. Men left to themselves sink deeper and deeper into the folly of their foolish thoughts concerning God Almighty. And the Scripture says their foolish heart was darkened. That word darkened there is actually darkness. Their foolish heart was darkness. Matthew 6:23 says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Men are religious, no doubt about that. Religion is everywhere. But what men say is light. The apostle is saying, the Lord is saying, if that light that you claim is actually darkness, how great is that darkness? False light is darkness. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, or they were proven to be foolish, exposed to be foolish. Without a new heart, without eyes to see, without new ears to hear, there's no wisdom of God. There's no knowledge of God. There's no understanding of the true and the living God. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. If a man knows anything of God, if you know anything, if you believe anything that is right and consistent as the Lord told Peter, when Peter says, when the Lord asked him, said, who do you say I am? Peter said, you're the Christ. And the Lord told him, he said, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that. You didn't understand that of yourself. You didn't come up with that. My Father taught you that. It's by divine revelation, if you know anything. Be thankful that God has not left you to yourself. Be thankful that Almighty God would show mercy and teach you something. The Scripture says, verse 23, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, man, by nature, because he possesses not faith, he desires a visible idol. He's got to have something on the outside. The older I get, the more I realize in every aspect of this life, the less that is revealed for a man to possess of the knowledge of God, the more he's got to have on the outside to try to pump himself up and show himself. Just, you know. Evidence of a foolish heart is that it exchanges, they change, that's what they change, they exchanged is what that word is. They exchanged the invisible God for visible image. The nation of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they came over to the foot of the mountain. Moses went up into the mountain to meet with God to receive the tablets, you know. And the people told Aaron, make us a calf. We've got to have something that we can see, something we can worship. And they made a golden image. And Moses came down and saw what was going on. You know, he threw the tablets and told the people, you dishonored God, you dishonored yourself. They exchanged the image of the invisible God for an image that they could behold. Hezekiah, you remember when the Lord told Moses, the people were getting bitten by snakes, and the Lord told Moses, he said, make a brazen serpent, make an image of what was biting the people. The snakes were a picture of sin biting people. Make a picture, make an image of that brazen serpent. Make a brazen serpent, make an image of it. Lift it up. Whoever looks at that brazen serpent, it was a picture of Christ setting forth. Christ being made what was biting the people. Sin. And whoever looked, lived, the Scripture says. Well, years passed. And the Scripture says that the people started to burn incense to that image. And they started to worship that. And Hezekiah took it and destroyed that brazen serpent. False religion. They build statues and they paint pictures and they hang crosses because they want to see something. Hang crosses around their neck and make earrings and they just... It's idolatry. I want you to turn to Exodus 20. I want to show you something. You know, this Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Exodus 20. Verse 4 and 5. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, that's on the earth beneath, that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4:15. Take ye, Deuteronomy 4:15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Don't make any image. Don't take any image. That is an image that is worn, hung, placed. Don't do anything that you say, this helps me worship. An emblem of worship is what it is. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know a lot of times we may think that it's something that we've, you know, it helps us, or it's something that, you know, it's a setting forth of our faith or something. Don't do it. Don't do it. Almighty God is a spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now the scriptures that follow from the point that we're at right now to the end of this first chapter reveal the result of all who are left themselves and glorify not the sovereign God of these scriptures. Three times in this book, and the book of Romans, the theme of the book of Romans is being justified before Almighty God by God's grace. Justification revealed by faith. This first chapter, Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's setting forth, this is the evidence of those left to themselves, given over. Three times, the scripture reveals in this remaining part of scriptures of this chapter that men left to themselves, abandoned by God and any restraints whatsoever. And I will say this. These scriptures are very sobering. I realize that all men born in Adam, that I do understand that there are some men and women in this world that are in the workforce, in the you know, that you deal with, and there is some decency. As far as I could say that word, I mean, there, apparently there's some honor, I guess, not before God, but the Scripture reveals some things in these scriptures. What happens when God Almighty leaves men or leaves women to themselves? And they're very, very sobering. It's the truth. It's by the grace of Almighty God that any man, any woman wouldn't be. But when we look at these scriptures, realize this. This is the word of Almighty God. It's so. The scripture says, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In these three, and I'll just read these verses as they come, we will see that there's three times that God says He gave them up. In these three manifestations, though all of these manifestations may not be seen in all that are left or given up on God, let me say that. all that are given up, given over, at least possess one, at least one of these things. Wherefore, God also gave them up, that is, put them in prison, and committed and delivered them to uncleanness, that is, impurity, physical and moral. God gave them up. He gave them up. Gave them over. Left them to themselves to do that which they truly desired to do. The instrument was their longings, their lust. God gave them up to uncleanness, and this was the means, the lust of their own hearts. God gave them over. Remove the restraints. If God Almighty removes the restraints, there is no depth to where a man or a woman will go. He gives them up. Leaves them to themselves. Leaves them to their own hearts, their own minds, to dishonor. That is, to shame and render infamous. He left them. No more restraints. To shame, dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Here is declared a state that God has given no more restraint. Sin is the punishment of sin. Punishment of sin is sin. Men want this? I don't know. I think I was reading these scriptures and I was thinking to myself, before I truly heard the gospel. I think back on my life and my attitude and myself. I'm just honest with you now. Think on me. Now you can think on you, I'll think on me. And I think to myself, in the life that I led in rebellion against Almighty God, at what point is there that God gives a man over? Now, to say that God gives them up or gave them up, that's not even up for debate. The Scriptures sets forth that that is so. But at what point is a man given over? I don't know. I don't know. Look at Paul, the Saul of Tarsus. Here he was living in absolute rebellion against Almighty God. At what point is it that God says, no more? I don't know. I just don't know. But to say that it's not so would be a lie. God gave them over. At what point? This is what I'm going to tell you. I am thankful to Almighty God that He didn't leave me alone. That He did not remove His hand of mercy from me. God gave them over. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They exchanged the truth of God. Now this man, I can see characteristics of these things right here. I think back on myself. Freddie, I'm thinking of me now. I think of myself who exchanged the truth for a lie.
think of myself. There was a time I know for a fact a lie here. That is a false god. That's what he's talking about. Exchange the truth of God for a lie, for a false god. A false god, a lie. Anything in this world that is not what men say it is. Men worship the god of their imagination. A false god. A god that's wanting to do something. That's a lie. It's a lie. The god, the little g god, that men are setting forth in pulpits today, that wants to do something that he cannot do unless men allow him to do it. I'm telling you, according to this word, that God, that little g God, is a lie. He's a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. A false God. Paul says in Romans 7:25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I worship, serve the law of God Himself. I thank God that God didn't leave me to myself. He didn't leave me alone. Sobering, sobering. These given up by God worship and they serve the creature, that is the creation, an idol, more than, that is opposed to, the Creator who is blessed, adored forever. Amen. For this cause, verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. God gave them up to vile affections, that is, disgraceful and shameful passions. Paul refers this evil concupiscence. Left them over. For even, that is, not only, also, he said, the women did change or exchange the natural use, that is, the employment of the body produced by nature. That's what that means, the natural use, the employment of the body that was produced by nature. God Almighty made the natural thing for a man to desire a woman and a woman to desire a man in the bond of marriage. And these that God has left to themselves, they exchange the natural use into that which is against nature. And I know that men say, well, you know, homosexuality and lesbianism and stuff like this, that's just a different lifestyle. No, let me tell you what it is. It's men and women given over by Almighty God. That's just the way it is. I may say, well, it's just, that's not really so. Yes, it is. We don't have to debate it. This is not up for debate. This is the way it is. Men and women given over by Almighty God. Restraints are taken away and they go in a way of disgrace and rebellion against Almighty God, and God removes restraints. Homosexuality and lesbianism is God Almighty giving a man or a woman up to corrupt affections. And likewise, verse 27, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. Working, accomplishing
that which is unseemly, indecent, shameful, receiving in themselves. That is, getting exactly what they wanted, what God's given them, and what they're due. That recompense, that is, that reward that is given in compensation. Receiving in themselves that recompense of their error or their mental straying or wrong, their wrong opinion of that which is right. Receiving that which was meet or fit. Sin is the reward of sin. Just, you may say, boy, you're kind of strong. I've looked at these scriptures, and I'm telling you, you can just try to bypass them all you want to, and just Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, is setting forth man's need of God. This is man by nature. There's not a little good in all men. There's none good. There's none good. Unless Almighty God shows mercy, man is hopelessly lost. If God gives a man and gives a woman over, there's no hope. At what point that is, I don't know. There's been questions in my mind. You know, I wonder. It's not told. The Scripture doesn't reveal. As long as a man, a woman has breath, there's hope. There's hope. Listen, I mean, before I go any farther, I think you all know, I can truthfully say, I love you. But love is expressed in truthfulness. Men that don't tell you the truth don't love you. Somebody that will lie to you, they don't love you. If you lie to somebody, you might as well just be right up, straight up, just be honest with them. Just say, I don't love you. I don't love you. I'll lie to you. You don't mean anything to me. Your feelings don't mean anything to me. A man that will lie to you does not love you. Men are in trouble. But as long as there's breath, come to Christ. Come to Him. At what point God gives a man over, I don't know. This is what God has called me to do. Preach the gospel. Set forth. Be honest. Tell the truth. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They didn't like to retain. They didn't like to hold. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. That is, they did not think God to be worthy of knowing. That's what it means. They just didn't think God worthy. They didn't think God worthy to be worshipped. They didn't. A mind that justifies their evil deeds. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That is, a mind that was void of all judgment. That's what that means, reprobate. Void completely of judgment. A mind that justifies evil. It calls good evil and evil good. They say that which is evil is okay. It doesn't matter. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. All that would not retain God in their minds were therefore, and here again, you say, what point? I don't know. I'm not trying to second guess God. I'm just trying to be honest and just set forth these scriptures and not try to smooth over anything that the Scripture is not smoothing over. God is setting forth that which is so. And if God Almighty gives a man or woman a heart to see this, if God gives them a heart, you know what they'll do? They'll cast themselves and they'll cry out for mercy. And if He leaves them alone, they'll just think, well, that old fool right there is just rambling and he just, you know, going on and on. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe what you're saying. And I don't believe that's the way it is. And it doesn't really matter to me. Verses 29 through 31. I wrote down. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to just write down and I'd just like to read to you what these words mean. Let me just read them from the Scripture. Being filled, that is, those that God has given over to a reprobate mind to do, to accomplish those things which are not convenient, fit, proper. I'll read them, then I'll tell you what the words mean, and I'll just leave it at that. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And then I'll deal with the last verse in a moment. Paul the Apostle, under the Spirit of God's direction, sets forth that they're filled in verse 29 with all unrighteousness. These are the exhibition of those that are left to themselves. Fornication, illicit sexual activity, whether actual or within the mind, but to find pleasure in any other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wickedness, all that opposes God, His people, or His Word. Now, before I go any farther, do you see why I said, I get to thinking back on myself, and I think I can see these characteristics. I mean, at what point does God leave a man to himself? At what point does God give a man over? No more restraints. No more. No more. Covetousness. The conquest of others to obtain their wealth or position, but spiritually to obtain glory for myself that is only due to God Almighty, or the desire to have more glory to myself. Covetousness. Maliciousness. Viciousness, or the quality of man that can only be described as depravity, or his will, man's will. Maliciousness. Being full of envy. Pleasure in seeing others depressed or fail, but especially the displeasure in the prosperity of God Almighty and His sovereignty as He pleases. That is, listen, full of envy, hating the sovereignty of God. Full of envy. Murder, either actual or the hatred of Almighty God and His people. Debate, to strive with contention, or specifically, an argumentative spirit concerning the gospel. That is to say, what God has declared. Debate. That's what it is. To argue, debate, to oppose what God has said concerning His Son. Deceit. A liar in all capabilities. But it is to set forth a snare or bait to be crafty in beguiling others. Deceit. Malignity. That is maliciously misinterpreting the words or the actions of others for their harm, and especially in preaching Christ, that is to put a bad construction or doubt upon God's Word. This is serious. This is serious. Men left to themselves, they love to distort what God Almighty has said, to doubt it. Whisperers. That is, secretly or in a sly manner, by innuendo, exciting suspicion of others, but especially of God Himself. Whisperers. I mean, you know, I mean, we could try to make these words make them, you know, mean, say, you know, well, I told him, I'm not supposed to whisper. Whisperers in a sly manner by innuendos, to be suspicious of others, but especially of God. Backbiters, exposing the faults of others and speaking evil against God and His people. Haters of God, to hate, to despise the Word, the Gospel, the truth of Almighty God. Despiteful, to treat with unkindness or disrespect, violent or injurious to others, especially when it comes to making merchandise of men's souls by lying concerning the gospel. See, these things, what it comes down to is that all these things, there's no honor. There's just no honor. No honor before God, no honor before men. Proud. That is, inordinate self-esteem that thinks more highly of self than God. Boasters. To claim in attitude what one does not possess, and then to glory in that possession because you attributed it to your own free will or ability. Boasters. Inventors of evil things, that is, to seek after new devices for the gratification of passion, but especially seeking another way to God except by Christ. You see, I mean, look, it all comes back down to man's free will. So supposed. Disobedient to parents. No respect, or to neglect, which is in truth disobedience to Almighty God, who's the authority of which the parents are but a picture. Listen, you children, listen to me. I'm 57 years old. My mother will soon be 76. She is my mother, and I owe her the respect that is due. She is in this world the visible authority. Now you say, well, yeah, but once I grow up, my decision. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. It's right. Your parents are your parents, and they are due the respect. They're due the respect. You say, well, what if they're wrong? They may be wrong, but they are still your parents. Disobedient, without understanding, that is, inconsiderate or ignorant of the gospel, to have no discernment. Covenant breakers, refusing to abide by a covenant that is made, or faithless when it comes to God's covenant. Without natural affection, possessing no desire with the living God. Unsociable, yes, with God's people. Without natural affection. Unsociable concerning God's people. But especially desiring no fellowship with God. Implacable. An unforgiving or truceless spirit. Are unwilling to be reconciled to God. And then unmerciful. That is, destitute of any mercy, or those who will not have God's mercy in His Son. They refuse to be shown mercy and therefore won't have it. Mercy. Mercy is for those who need mercy. Man by nature doesn't have any desire for mercy because he doesn't think he needs any mercy. And then verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That which makes these sins. And there, I've said before, don't think for one second. Don't look around and just say, well, I'll tell you what, I hope so-and-so heard that. Look inside. This old nature is in every person. Believers, unbelievers, I'm telling you, Paul says there is in me, I said before, there's no good thing. Leave a man to himself. This is why a believer wars within. Because he sees this nature in him. He sees it. He sees it. And he hates it. He despises it. These vile sins. Believers long to be free from them. People left to themselves are inexcusable. They know that evil deeds are wrong. They know that they're worthy of death. You know, I thought to myself, the only time that a person, just like whenever somebody broke through that door the other night, you know why they came in at night? Why do they come in at night? Why don't they come in while we're all sitting here? Because they know their deeds are evil. They know they are. They know. Because they want to come in the cloak of darkness. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And not only they do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. They know that their deeds are wrong, but still they do them and have pleasure, that is, they approve or consent with those that do the same things. Men, by nature, as I said when we started, man is in trouble. He's in trouble. The Scriptures set forth exactly the way that things are. If Almighty God gives a man a heart to see himself in need of a Savior, you know what he'll say? That's me. That's me. Christ came into this world to save sinners. What Paul says, whom I'm chief. I'm chief. Men are not going to try to justify themselves in themselves. They're going to be honest with God. I need mercy. Why? Because all of this stuff is right here. You see your need of Christ, cast yourself upon God's mercy. If God gives a man a heart for himself, men come as beggars, empty-handed, Brother Scott. That's you. Man, he comes empty-handed. What do you got? I have nothing. That nothing is something. Because God Almighty has given a man a heart to see himself in need of a Savior. Well, let's stop for a few minutes. Like I said, I figured this one would probably go a little longer. And we'll have a short second service. Okay, 5 minutes.